Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. We've missed each other the past couple weeks. Robbie, we've been off for a couple weeks. A lot of marathon coverage. I know that's going on this weekend. 2 weeks, a lot can change. We're deep into the fall. The weather's been perfect in Chicago. I was just back there. We've had a lot of developments. 2 weeks, the entire sport can change. Your team can change in 2 weeks. When I last left you, the last time we talked on this show, Bears fans were pretty salty. Fire this guy, get rid of this guy. It was right after the loss to the Indianapolis Colts, the 21-16 loss. Sorry to bring it up. I know it was a couple weeks ago. I know we've mind wiped it from our memory. That was a game the Bears clearly should have won. Caleb Williams threw for, 363, and they lost. That was a tough couple days. I remember listening to the score the next few days, and it was like the earth was crashing. You know, it was fire Waldron. We don't have the right quarterback. The Washington Commanders got the better quarterback. And look what's changed in the past 2 weeks. There's nothing that a couple clean wins can't get you. The win against the Rams, the win against Carolina, we're going to talk about that. This is the tailgate. This is the score. A lot coming up today. Bears in London. We're going to have a BBC sports reporter live from London. Wow, that's pretty cool in about 5 minutes. And cool for me, Mike Mulligan, longtime sports writer. You know Mully right here on the score. He'll be joining us before the special Saturday morning edition of the Bears pregame show. That's later this morning. A little bonus coverage there. I'm also going to recap my great family weekend in Chicago 2 weeks ago. Took the whole family back, did the doubleheader, Cubs on Friday, Bears on Sunday with the Rams game. Your boy put on about 7 pounds and brought worse and pizza, and I feel good about it. It was glorious. But let's get to this weekend's Bears game. Bears are in London on a Sunday morning on the NFL Network. That is so perfect for Bears fans. It's the best. You get the standalone national TV game out of the way early. Now, here's the issue. Now, you get to watch all the rest of the NFL the rest of the day. You get to watch Sunday Night Football. And whatever the Bears do, hopefully win, is already in the books. And you can just enjoy football the rest of the day and not stress. That game starts, kickoff, I think, is like 8:30 a.m. Chicago time. That's early for Chicagoans on a Sunday morning. That's like prime getting to the tailgate time, right? That's why I got to the tailgate at the Rams game at 9:07 a.m. because I'm a professional. But 8:30 a.m. kickoff local time, here's what's going to happen. Don't get blindsided by this game. Don't, you know, go a little late on Friday night. You got the Saturday morning errands. Those are gone. You can't do those on Saturday morning. Early kickoff, no Saturday morning errands. Be ready. Don't be the guy who wakes up like at 2:52 left in the first quarter and you turn on the game because you forgot they're on the NFL Network. I've been that guy before. Don't be that guy. All right, before we get to the Panthers, before we get to the game in London, I want to talk a little about the past couple weeks. I want to go back 2 weeks to the Rams win with the Bears, and it was a great game. Bears win 24-18. Didn't even think it was that close. The defense was awesome all day. My favorite play in that Rams game, the Bears get the ball. I think it was first and goal about the 1.5-yard line in the second quarter. And if you remember all the issues in the Tennessee-Houston Indy games where the Bears would get the ball inside the goal 5-yard line and they would do that read option stuff, go from the shotgun, it was driving people crazy. People are just going crazy about Shane Waldron and that goal line offense. Everyone starts yelling. I'm in section 400 because your boy couldn't get good seats. And people start yelling as the Bears break the huddle, like, run the ball, run the ball. The Bears lined up against the Rams in like a true I formation. I think there was a fullback. I think there was a lineman lined up as a tight end. It was fantastic. And Roshan Ren right up the middle scored a touchdown and the place kind of exploded. And it was exploding in not just a celebration of a touchdown on a home game, but like, that's it. Let's not be too creative. Let's run the ball at the middle, get some touchdowns and move on. If you go back in the day when Tom Brady was on the Patriots, they ran the quarterback sneak on 4th-and-1 all the time. And that's a guy you think you'd protect. Go back last year to the Eagles. 4th-and-1, 3rd-and-1, just go Jalen Hurts right at the middle or run the fullback up the middle or your tailback up the middle. That's all you do. Creativity is overrated. Then you go. The other thing I loved about the Rams game, by the way, a couple weeks ago, fans were cheering for rookie punter Torrey Taylor. Usually when the punter gets on the field, you know, you kind of take a break, you check your phone, it's time to go to the bathroom, changing possessions, maybe get a brat. But people were cheering for Torrey Taylor, and he's become a weapon for this offense, which is a weird thing to think a punter can be a weapon. But if you think of field position in close games, a 24-18 game against the Rams, and Torrey Taylor was as important as anybody that day. Let's go back to last weekend. You know, you come off the Rams game, Bears fans are feeling better. You got the Carolina Panthers at home, October 6th, sunny, beautiful day. That's a win you expect, a nice, clean win. You know, going against the Panthers, it was like that scene in the movie Stripes. We're going into Czechoslovakia. It's like going into Wisconsin. And he says, I got my ass kicked to Wisconsin once. This game set up perfectly for the Bears offense to continue the momentum from the second half of the Rams game. And it worked. The Bears offense, I think it was 27 first half points, a 36-10 win. The running game looked good, worked in all the running backs, worked in all the receivers. DJ Moore starting to really heat up. It was just a beautiful game, and it kind of washed away the stink of the Colts game from a few weeks ago. But what really stood out to me about the way the Bears beat the Panthers was the way they did it. Caleb Williams started taking shots downfield, and he had time to get them off. He hit DJ Moore a couple times downfield. And like those passes in September were either underthrown or overthrown, even if he had time. You know, it felt great. The late second quarter pass to DJ Moore was especially pretty. It looked like Caleb Williams didn't really have a chance to set his feet, and he just kind of flicked it. It was all arm, and he's got the arm. It was beautiful. The other thing you had to love was there were more power running game plays near the goal line for the Bears. Roschon Johnson, he may run for 100 yards on the entire season. He may get 10 touchdowns, and the Bears fans will be fine with it. Who cares? Let someone else do the work, and you grab the touchdowns near the goal line. The direction of the offense, though, for the Bears, I think everyone has to admit, is way up. Less self-inflicted wounds, fewer false starts, cleaner breaks from the huddle. I mean, the stuff that's kind of amateur hour, but plagued them in the first few weeks of the season. Caleb threw his second career 300-yard game against the Panthers. 300-yard games, 300-yard passing games in Chicago are like solar eclipses. They don't happen a lot. The other thing I think you have to love, I mean, this is the guy that really has stood out to me so far. Defensive lineman Jerron Dexter. You know, he's a defensive tackle, big guy, a little taller than most defensive tackles, but he's in his second year. I don't even think he's 24 years old yet. He's hitting his stride. He looks different than last year, both physically and on the field. He's getting into opposing backfields all day. I remember listening to the score all through August, and all the guys were saying, the defensive line, do they have help for Montez Sweat? And it didn't feel like they did. Gervon Dexter is hitting his stride. He kind of reminds me of a young Chris Jones from the Chiefs. Now, he's not Chris Jones yet. Chris Jones is one of the five best players in all of football, the defensive tackle for the Chiefs. He's underrated. But Gervon Dexter is getting into the backfield regularly. He's pushing people back, and he's becoming a rush D tackle, which is one of the most prized possessions in the league these days. But all in all, against the Panthers, a great day at Soldier Field, great weather, lots of points. The Bears are sitting at 3-2. Going into a very beatable Jacksonville Jaguars teams tomorrow morning. Jacksonville, I think, 30th in defense, and their offense is spotty at best. They have talent on offense. They've had talent all over their team, but they've just underwhelmed the past year and a half. Jacksonville is one of those games where you start in your head penciling in a win, which is really dangerous for a Bears fan to pencil in any wins, but the offense should have no trouble with the Jacksonville defense. Does the offense for Jacksonville get it together? You know, Jacksonville is kind of like a wounded animal. And, you know, my grandmother always told me, be very careful of a wounded jaguar. That's one of the first things she ever taught me. But Jacksonville doesn't seem like they have it against the Bears tomorrow. In London, I think they got there a day after the Bears. Bears are acclimated. Everything's fun. Let's get up early, have a nice clean win, you know, get it done. So it should be a great day tomorrow. You know, NFL in London is becoming a regular thing. It's not like a novelty anymore. So let's bring in our first guest. We're going to go live to London. That's a first for this show, Robbie. I think that's a first. Ben Collins, sports reporter for BBC Sports in the UK, joins us on the Tailgate 670 The Score. Your host, Paul Papps here. The Bears and Jaguars, Ben, play tomorrow in your country. And it feels like NFL games in the UK are becoming a regular thing, not like a novelty of the past. Is that how it feels to you?
Yeah, I mean, we've had the NFL games over here now since 2007. So maybe at first it was a bit of a novelty and people were kind of curious about this weird sport that's coming over to our shores. But I think now it's been that many years. I think it's still just as special, but it's less of a novelty factor now, maybe.
Now, when you see this regular games there, I can remember back in the 80s when I was young, the Bears went over there in 85, 86, 87, somewhere around there, and they were on the BBC. And then I'd heard that in the 90s, it was really hard to watch the NFL in England, much less see it in person. Now it's becoming a regular thing. Do you think British sports fans are starting to pick teams and have a little bit of loyalties?
To a certain extent, I think some of it's a carryover from when there was so much NFL available, when it first became available on free-to-air TV in the 80s. Then we didn't have any for years. But when it came back on our TV, people still had those teams that they picked up from the 80s, like the Dolphins, the Cowboys, the Giants, the 49ers, the Bears even. And they got back involved with following those teams. And obviously you had following the NFL as it progressed, you had the Patriots becoming successful. So they picked up a few more fans along the way. And I think we're getting that now with the Chiefs.
To what level are NFL players, air quotes, famous in England? If Patrick Mahomes walks down the street, is he getting noticed and bothered?
I think it'd be a great place for him to come on holiday. I really don't think that many people recognize him.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's taken that many years for... I mean, Tom Brady's a recognized name over here, but it took him to winning however many Super Bowls for that to happen.
Right.
You know, he's played till his 40s and now he's finally retired. But it's only now, really, that people know who he is.
So if I was living in England and I want to watch NFL football on a Sunday, is it tape delayed? Is it live? Do I have a lot of access, a little access?
There's as much access as you like, Paul. I mean, on BBC Radio, we have one live game a week. On free-to-air TV, there's one game a week. But if you want to pay a little for TV or streaming, you can watch every single game every single week.
Just like America.
Pardon?
Just like America. If you pay, they'll bring it to you. I want to go back to the Bears for a second because you remember, like I do, after they won the Super Bowl, they went over there and the fridge was a big deal and then football went away. This new Bears team coming over, I know you don't cover them day to day, but what type of buzz with the Bears coming over there with you specifically covering the NFL? What do you think of this Bears squad?
Well, it's great that you had the first draft pick this year and that you're coming over to London. I think people start over here are starting to twig on to the idea of the draft and getting a bit excited about it and how it can turn around the fortunes of a franchise in just 1 year. So you guys selecting Caleb Williams this year and coming over to England. We've not seen much of the guy yet because we've only just started to get college football on TV over here.
Right.
So
is that tough? Is that quite a bit tougher to find American college football?
Pardon, Paul?
Is that quite a bit harder to find American college football games over in London?
Yeah, you have to pay a bit extra to find that.
Oh, boy.
And there's only certain teams that you can watch. So a lot of people haven't seen Caleb Williams yet. So we're looking forward to seeing just how good this guy is.
Now, it's been talked about with the NFL for years of even having a team in London full time. The Jaguars have always been rumored to be relocating to London. It doesn't seem like that's happening. I can remember 15 years ago, there was a lot of buzz about a Super Bowl in London, Wembley or other. Have you heard much about that? And do you think either of those things will happen, let's say, in the next decade?
I would say both are unlikely. There's maybe more of a chance of the Jaguars coming over until they announced that they were going to build a new stadium in Jacksonville. Since then, I think the NFL are more interested in expanding globally rather than just in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a franchise over here, it'd be quite difficult to arrange with the travel and the scheduling. That's for the Super Bowl. I've been fortunate enough to go to one myself in Phoenix a couple of years ago. So I've seen how big an event that is, and I just can't see. Is that important to U.S. culture? I just can't see you letting anyone else have it.
Ben Collins of BBC Sports in England joining the tailgate. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score. I have two names. If we ever had an NFL team in London, here are the two names. I'm going to let you judge which one's better. Let's say it's the Jaguars that go over there. I'm going to go with a little hokey, the London Fog.
you know, kind of a mysterious, spooky team that just gets you out of nowhere, the London Fog, or the, you know, it's Jacksonville Jaguars. How about the London Shagwars? Your thoughts on that?
Sure, the last would work. I'll give you another one, Paul.
Go.
The London Beefeaters.
The London Beefeaters. I mean, that plays right to America. We love beef. We like to eat beef. It plays to middle America. You know, the tailgates would be fantastic. I'm going to bow out of my two. I'm going to go with yours, man.
Sure.
That's fantastic. All right, last thing, because this show is called The Tailgate. I love tailgating college or pro football games. The Bears have a great tailgate. When I went over to London years ago, I went over to a pub called the Eight Bells in the Putney area and saw Fulham, the Premier League match. Yeah. And I think the tailgating at a British soccer game, football game, as you call it, is very similar to college and pro football here. Everyone gets to, but it's not like a big field where people park their cars and make food and drink. It's much more find a pub, get there early, get some drinks in you, and then walk as a mass to the games. Have you been part of the tailgating for a Premier League match?
I'm actually a season ticket holder at Manchester City. So,
oh.
I'm familiar with pubs, yeah. And, yeah, we do like a good few drinks. I mean, we treat a game of football more like a reason to go to the pub with your mates, and the football kind of gets in the way.
So that'd be more like a Chicago Cubs game, possibly, where it's like a bar with a baseball game going in the middle. Well, we got to get you over here, Ben, to a nice proper college football tailgate or a Bears tailgate, because you see, if you're a Man City fan, I know you can handle your beers.
Yeah, I'd love to come over and see how you guys do it for real, though.
Hey, thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks for getting primed up for the big game in London, and it was a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, Paul.
That was a lot of fun. Our first ever guest from London, England. I've only been to London once, and the tailgating scene, I don't think they call it tailgating when you go to a Premier League soccer match, but I went to a Fulham-Birmingham match, not exactly a high-end team. That'd be like the Jaguars playing the Browns right now, kind of two average teams. But there's hundreds and hundreds of people in all the pubs hours before game time. And then if you've ever been to the South Lot at Soldier Field, and maybe half an hour, maybe 45 minutes before game time, people start walking in. They still got drinks in their hands, but they're walking in, and eventually they have to throw them out before they go into Soldier Field. That's what the walk is in England. When you walk in from a Premier League stadium, you're walking down the street chanting with your fans. Everyone's got kits on. They call them jerseys or kits over there. And it's a lot of fun. It's very similar to a Bears tailgate in the walk-in, except instead of walking from your pickup truck or whatever car you have for tailgating, you're walking from a pub. So that was a lot of fun. Great to have a guest on from England. Oh, and don't forget, every week, our show, 670 The Score, The Tailgate, brought to you by Homage. Ready to level up your NFL gear? Homage has the softest throwback apparel for Bears fans and beyond. Rep your favorite teams. Chicago's the number one team on Homage in NFL purchases. That's fantastic. Go to homage.com, H-O-M-A-G-E, and use my code TAILGATE for 15% off your first order. That's H-O-M-A-G-E.com. Pay Homage. You know, it's an interesting NFL weekend. There's a lot of good games. There's a lot of impactful games. We're getting to October where, you know, a loss can make you from a wild card team to not going to the playoffs, and a win can take you from not going to the playoffs to a wild card team. A couple games that stand out to me is Cardinals-Packers. Packers are 3-2. Jordan Love is back, but he did not look great the other day. Buccaneers-Saints, those are two teams that are decent, not great. Eagles-Browns, the Browns stink. The Browns are awful, and their quarterback situation with Deshaun Watson on and off the field is a disaster. He's not playing well, and he's under contract for 3 more years guaranteed. What a mess with the Browns. The Eagles are 2-2. They were in the Super Bowl a year and a half ago, and now they're kind of a middle-of-the-road team. They got to get it together. One that stands out to me for Bears fans after the Bears get done with Jacksonville, Commanders versus Ravens, noon on CBS. That's a biggie. You know, Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Commanders, had a great September. He's 4-1 going against the Ravens. If he somehow on national TV takes down the Ravens, that's fantastic for him. Steelers-Raiders, still no word on the quarterback situation. Steelers-Raiders tomorrow. Another biggie later in the day, Lions versus Cowboys. Detroit's giving 3.5 to the Cowboys. Lions are 3-1. They should be 4-0. Cowboys have to get back in this. They're 3-2. Night game, Bengals at Giants. If I told you the Bengals and Giants would play in mid-October and the Bengals would have the worst record, the Giants are 2-3 and don't look that bad. And the Bengals are now 1-4. They could have won 3 of those games that they lost. You go 1-5, you can call it. Then you have Monday Night Football, Bills at Jets. That should be fun. It should be a big weekend of NFL games where you get through all the NFL games. We're going to talk college football in a little bit. Oh, huge college football weekend last week. Huger this week, if that's a word, huger. But up next, our guest, Mike Mulligan, Mully of Mully and Haw on the Score, and much, much more. It's great to be back. I'm Paul Papps, 670 The Score. This is how our Saturday morning should be. Us hanging out, chopping up some football, talking about beer and sausage and food and tailgating. This is 670 The Score. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Love football. Love it. Love it. Love it. That's Jim Harbaugh, by the way. Everyone asks what that clip is from. Welcome back to The Tailgate on The Score. I'm Paul Papst. Don't forget, before Chicago takes on Jacksonville in London, tune in later this morning. Bonus coverage, 9 to 11, a special day and time for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Love Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley. Get you set for the game. Right after the tomorrow's game, join Mully, Olin. Wow, this guy's doing double duty. And we'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse, Chicago, and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and this Odyssey app. Joining us now, this is a treat for me, Mike Mulligan. Some call him Mully. I hope I'm allowed to, from Mully and Haw, 670 The Score. Mully, I have this quirk. You and I have never spoken before in our lives. I've been reading your stuff since I was in high school. I have a quirk about calling someone by their nickname the first time I meet them. So I'm going to call you Mike until you tell me different.
Oh, God bless you, Paul. What a glorious introduction. Please call me Mully. Everyone else does. I have friends I grew up with. I was always Michael. And when I got on the radio, I became Mully. It was not my idea. And I said to my buddy one time, we're at dinner. And he's like, Mully, why don't you? And I'm like, hey, you can call me by my name. And he looked at me and he said, that's what you call yourself.
Right. I work on the Dan Patrick Show. My name's Paul Pabst. I've been going by Paul Pabst my whole life in Chicago. And Dan started calling me Paulie, and it stuck on the show. And I like Paulie. It's fine. It's fine on the show. But I'll be walking down talking to people, and like, hey, Paulie. I'm like, oh, it's someone who knows the show, not
exactly.
From Chicago.
Exactly. It compartmentalizes your life. It's perfect.
It's great. All right. I'm calling you Mully. It feels like Robert De Niro and actors say, hey, Bob. Oh, now I feel like I'm in the club. Real quick, I'm assuming you've been to London before in your life. Have you ever been to London for a sporting event?
I actually dated a girl in London once. Whoa. That's how often I was going to London. My best friend from high school moved to London, and my brother ended up moving to London. And I used to go there. I think one year I went 10 times.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was a young man. I used to take my off days and put them together on the weekend and think nothing of going. But my old man was born in the north of England, and my mother was from Tipperary, Ireland. So we used to go over all the time. You know, they were immigrant people.
Well, it's great that the Bears are on there tomorrow. And I think a lot of people are going to get blindsided by the kickoff time being 8:30 in the morning. Now, before we get to the football, I listen to your show every morning, you and David Haw. And I love the fact that you guys talk about the frustrations of the remote control and watching sports these days on different apps and channels. I spend most of my week thinking about how I'm going to watch college football and pro football. And I'm somewhat technically adept, but when I'm rolling around with the remote, I'm trying to fix it for you, Mully. I have this plan that, you know how you say, Alexa, turn on the whatever.
Yes.
So my thing is, because you have to go from like CBS to NBC to an app to Amazon Prime on a Thursday.
Yes.
My plan is a program called Hey Bro. And you just say to your television, you don't have to lift a finger, hey Bro, turn on the Bears-Jaguars game, and it shoots you right to NFL Network. Or hey Bro, put on Ohio State-Oregon, it shoots you right to NBC. What are your thoughts?
Paul, you're a genius. That is akin to taking the Sears catalog and calling it Google. You are going to be printing money, my friend.
Well, I like your support. I like your partnership. Maybe a board of directors spot. All right. So I was on the show a couple weeks ago after the Indianapolis Colts game, and it felt like the sky was falling and everyone wanted everyone fired, and Caleb Williams was the wrong draft pick and Washington got the right one. You, as a longtime host in Chicago, how do you navigate patience with your opinion?
Yeah, I think that you do it with certain positions in the NFL, for instance. You know, if you've watched enough football in your life and you understand how the process works. I mean, listen, everyone wants C.J. Stroud or Jaden Daniels if he's actually going to exceed that. I think that is what we lust for here in Chicago, because it's never happened. And I think part of the problem we have is that we've never seen quarterback development. And I mean, I wasn't around. Who would be the quarterback? Would it be like the 1940s era Sid Luckman? Right. Is that what we're talking about here? Because that guy, I think, was a college halfback that moved to quarterback when they thrilled the nation with the T formation. So I just don't believe we've seen it occur. We've seen people get moderately better, but we haven't seen like someone become a star in front of our eyes. Not at that position. You know, this is the first team that ever had a middle linebacker, and this is the team known for running back. So I just think part of the frustration is we don't know what it looks like, and we don't know what to look for. And so you try to educate people. I think we've seen good things from Caleb Williams thus far, and it's promising. So you just hope it keeps on that track.
So on a Monday morning after a Bears loss, I always think that part of your job is to be both the voice of the fan and the voice to the fan, whether it be to calm them down, hype them up, but also speak for them and let the Bears hear what the fans want to say. How much of that is your responsibility?
I think 100%. I think you're absolutely spot on. I think that these sports teams may be owned by individuals, but they are public trusts, and the people that love the teams are going to have been here and are going to be here well after most of the players enjoy their careers. It's a limited time frame, and that goes for coaches and it goes for owners, frankly. So it can be incredibly frustrating when you feel like the owner has done a bad job. And I'm not talking about the Bears, but we currently have an owner who is overseeing an absolute disastrous organization, and they claim they'll change. So you sit back and you wait and see what happens, but you also kind of have to be capable of holding their feet to the fire.
All right, Molly, I have another thought that I've had. I throw these out on the Dan Patrick Show, and Dan usually poo-poos them, but I'm going to throw it out to you. I have a rule in sports. If you own a sports franchise, Bears, Cubs, whatever, I mean, any sport.
Sure.
If your team does not make the playoffs for a straight decade, you must sell your team. Your thoughts?
Oh, I love it. I wish there was something like that. I mean, as I've mentioned, I've spent a lot of time. I watch a lot of English Premier League football. I love the idea of relegation. I like relegation more than I like promotion. I think it's great when a team can move up and, you know, something like that happens and the fan base, it's miraculous. I know a lot of people are watching that Wrexham series. That's pretty cool to see what they've been doing. But to me, it's relegation. It's you're not good enough. Okay, move down. Yeah. Now you're in AAA. I
crippling.
Love that idea. Love it.
Yeah. I could see college football. I'm hearing some things about the next steps of college football. It might be 4 or 5 years down the road, but I see college football changing from 125 teams to 60 and 60 or 70 and 50. And some of the rumors are that there might be relegation. I want to go back to the Bears for a second, though. It does feel like the state of this franchise, beyond Caleb Williams, feels better, cleaner, more professional. Going in the right direction, is that the Caleb Williams spillover, or do you feel better about the franchise overall this year compared to maybe decades of the past?
I have a healthy dose of cynicism from the many years I've been around this franchise, sadly.
Yeah, you do.
I got to be honest with you. I thought that Hard Knocks did a great job of kind of selling them from a promotional standpoint. You know, the PR they got out of that show was excellent, and the way that they controlled the message. I agree with what George said during the week, that they seemed both the head coach and the general manager seemed humanized by that program, and maybe that helped them. But this is not like the Washington now Commanders when RG3 was there. This is not Kyle Shanahan and a bunch of genius guys in a room. The Bears can really frustrate you. Yeah. And I think this season has been an example of that. And Paul, we had a remarkable conversation yesterday with Stacy Dales. We talked to Stacy from the NFL Network once a week, and she's a great reporter, and she's excellent. She talks to everybody. She's in London. She was telling us that she had spent some time talking to Mercedes Lewis and was asking him, hey, what was this whole thing about, and how did this whole conversation start with the Leadership Council and Shane Waldron and all this? And she said that when the Bears opened the season, they were not using a first 15. So that is the scripted plays that any offensive coordinator puts together. He did first 15 when he was in Seattle,
and the old Bill Walsh thing.
Yeah, well, Bill Walsh. So I mean, historically, let's say most things go back to Paul Brown, including Bill Walsh. So Bill Walsh worked for Paul Brown. He became Paul Brown's offensive coordinator and the coach. And the owner, Paul Brown, was the owner, the general manager, the coach, the head coach. He had made Bill Walsh his offensive coordinator, and then he wanted certain plays. The word that I like to use when I hear about the scripted plays is probing, because they are meant, they are not designed to take you from one play to the next play. They are idea plays that you are looking at formation, how people respond to something that you show them, so you can run a similar play later from a different formation, whatever it might be. It's not like, okay, now we run, now we, that's not what it is. It's more a series of plays. So Walsh would have to meet with Paul Brown for breakfast on Saturday mornings, and they would go over the plays. Like, these are the best plays we're going to have this week. They would just have this meeting about it. And it occurred to Walsh, well, I'm putting these plays together, I may as well use them with the team. I may as well tell the team. So that's kind of how it started. So it is Bill Walsh, but it's also Paul Brown. A lot of the concepts from the West Coast offense came from ideas that Brown had. And you go back and look at it, that guy was using technology from tanks, you know, the walkie-talkie, like the communication from tanks in the quarterback's helmet. He was the guy that started that, only they kept crossing with like a cab company or something, and they, you know, they'd be trying to call a play, and the next thing
ham radio operators were
exactly. A guy'd have to run out and pick someone up, you know. No, that's not working. But it's extraordinary.
You're listening to Tailgate. Mike Mulligan, Mully from Mully and Hall, joining us on the Tailgate. I'm Paul Papps. This is a thrill. I've got 30 more questions for you and 5 more minutes to do it, so this, I'm going to have you back. All right. I have an opinion on the stadium issue with the Bears. I want to give you mine and then hear yours. I went to the Rams game the other day, and it was 71 degrees, partly sunny. It was gorgeous. I took my family there. My family had never been to a Bears home game.
Wow. Yeah.
At halftime, I'm discussing the Bears stadium issue with my daughters, who are 15 and 13, and my wife. And I said, they're thinking about moving out to the suburbs. They looked at me like I or they were insane. My wife goes, you would move from this? And she goes, you could see the buildings. There's boats over there. There's a lake. She goes, I did not know Chicago was this beautiful. She'd been to Chicago. She'd never been to Soldier Field. She goes, this is one of the best views I've ever seen. She goes, you can't give up this spot. And I go, well, they want to make a huge entertainment complex and hotels and maybe Arlington Heights. She goes, I don't care about all that. And I believe that the downtown location, I think we're accustomed to it as Bears people and Chicagoans. Right. And when people come to Chicago for the first time and they're in the South lot and they see the views and the buildings and the water, they're blown away by it. I think it's by far the best view of any NFL stadium. I live out by New York, and New York doesn't have any views at all. The idea of leaving the city for any suburb, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you would prefer them to be downtown, but as a taxpayer, my main thought is that I am unwilling to surrender $15, let alone a part of $2.7 billion, to finance a stadium, regardless of how great the city would look. I don't think there's an appetite for public funding for stadiums. And I think that if they want to do it on their own, then God bless them. The lakefront has been kissed by God, as Kevin Warren told us.
I agree with you, because I don't, now the stadium, maybe compared to other new stadiums, isn't as modern and cool, but I don't need a brand new stadium where the South lot is when you already have what you have. I think the game day experience is fantastic. Is it better or worse than others? I don't know, but it seems really cool. That got great tailgates, a lot of great fun. All right, before we let you go, I've been wanting to ask you this for a long time. Covering the Bulls back in the day, the Michael Jordan story either you haven't told before on or off the court, or that you would tell first to someone who asked, like me. On or off the court?
You know, I think that my favorite Jordan story, one that I really believe, there are so many great stories with Jordan. The Rodney McRae came to the Bulls. You mm-hmm. remember Rodney McRae? The McRae yep. brothers were winning titles at Louisville with Denny Crum like a long time ago. So it was Scooter McRae and Rodney McRae. Rodney came in and played out west, maybe in Sacramento, and then came to the Bulls. They signed him as a free agent, and he was terrible. I mean, it was yeah. shocking how bad he was when he got here. And he was really struggling, and I remember talking to him, and he told me that he had not had like a proper constitution in like 6 months or something. He had had some problem in his colon, and he needed some sort of surgical procedure. And he was like retaining water. He was like a guy that hadn't really wow. had he was very uncomfortable. Let's put it that way. So at practice one day, Michael he goes up and basically is like, okay, I got the ball in my right hand, but I'm going to put it in my left, and I'm going to dunk on you with my left hand. And everyone's like, what is he doing? And then he does it. And then he tells them, now, I'm going to look like him, but I'm going back to my right, and this time I'm coming around doing a reverse dunk on you. You know, and he then does it. And then they're down the floor. Everybody's clearing out. It's just him and Rodney McRae, and he tells him, I'm going to look like I'm going to dunk, but I'm not. I'm going to spin around. I'm going to hit a jumper over you. And he just proceeds to tell him exactly what he's going to do, and you try and stop this. And the guy, Rodney McRae, finally, like, walked off the court. Like, he was humiliated by Michael. So I'm then talking to Jordan later on, like, well after the practice, and I'm like, Mike, you know, did you know that he had this problem and he hadn't had a proper constitution all these months? You know? And Jordan just like looks at me like I've got two heads. And he basically said, you know, blank him. Either he can help us or he can't. I don't think he can help us. And just walked away.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know, there wasn't he was a killer, man. He was just going to win. That's all he needed. Yeah,
that's
awesome.
When people argue about basketball players, you could say who's better in this, but there's no bigger assassin in sports history than that guy.
I mean, whenever that subject comes up, I have to take myself out of the conversation because I know how good Michael Jordan was. I know every trip down the court he had to win. There's no one else like that. There's nobody like him.
You probably have 20 more stories. I work with Dan Patrick. He's told me 20 stories about Jordan, and everyone is better than the other. It was great to meet you, Mully. It's great. I listen to the show every morning. It's great to have you on the show. Hopefully we can do this another time.
Great, Paul. Have a great day. Keep doing a great job. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. That was a lot of fun for me. I've been listening to Mully on the air for years, reading his stuff way, way back in the day. So that was really cool. Real quick, college football this weekend. Got some big games. Texas at Oklahoma this afternoon. Penn State at USC this afternoon. The night session, Ohio State at Oregon. That's a big one. That's a weird one, by the way. They're in the same conference now, so they play in October. Ole Miss versus LSU tonight. That's a big day ahead. Now, one thing to keep an eye on college football this season, Army and Navy. Right now it's October. They're both undefeated. Both Army and Navy in the next month play Notre Dame on a neutral site. If somehow either Army or Navy or both are undefeated, and they face each other in the Army-Navy game, that will be galactic. Because if Army or Navy are undefeated and run the table, one of them is going to be put in the college football playoffs. The public sentiment, the patriotism, everything behind either Army or Navy running the table will be fantastic. All right, I got to get more college football next week. But up next, we're going to do our Pub and Grub of the Week, my Bears-Jaguars prediction, the Bears fan morale meter, all that's next. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parsegian know about it?
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Wrapping up a fun day on the Tailgate 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pepps. I need another hour. I got so much more to get to. That was great having Mike Mulligan, Mully from Mullion Hall on the show. I've been reading him for years to get to talk to him. I could have done that for 3 hours. That would have been fun. I'll have him on again, I hope. It's time for, we got a lot to get to. Tune in tomorrow morning, 7 to 11 a.m. for our exclusive coverage of the 46th running of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon. One of my neighbors is running in it. Josh Liss and our team of marathon experts will be broadcasting live from the finish line. Reports from the lead vehicles around the course only heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. And don't forget, Homage brings you the tailgate on 670 The Score. Go to homage.com. Use the code tailgate for 15% off your first order. HOMAGE.com. HOMAGE. Get your Bears gear, whatever football gear you need. A lot to get to here before we wrap it up. Pub and Grub of the Week. That's where we recommend a place to go to watch the Bears, watch other sports, get some pints in you, get some food in you. Just went to a place last week, a couple weeks ago. 2642 North Lincoln Ave, Racine Plumbing Bar and Grill. Racine Plumbing Bar and Grill. I thought it was a place that you got plumbing equipment. I had no idea. Where was I been? It has a great feel. The menu's legit. They have cheese curds, 8 types of wings. The Racine Burger was a hammer. Great beer selection. Racine Plumbing Bar and Grill, 2642 North Lincoln. Quick recap. 2 weeks ago, took my family to Chicago. It's been a while for them. Brought the family. We got some pizza. We went to the Cubs game on Friday. It was 70 degrees and overcast. It was a beautiful day. Went to the Bears game on Sunday. It was the kids soaked me for jerseys at the Rally House before the Cubs game. Saturday, went over to DePaul University. Got to watch Chris Holtman and the new DePaul basketball team, and the all-new DePaul basketball team. They were flying. I'm really excited about DePaul basketball this year. Walked around the DePaul neighborhood. That was a lot of fun. Sunday, got up early. Respect the family. They were up and ready at 8:30 a.m. to go to the Bears tailgate. Went to the South Lot for a while. Then I went over to this tailgate called Game Day Your Way, the Arena Club, over right over by the water. It was a really cool tailgate. Lots of meat, lots of drinks. That was pretty cool. Sat in section 400, little high up. No problem. Great seats-ish. Got the late flight home. It was a great weekend in Chicago doing the double dip of the Cubs and the Bears. Someday I'll take them to a White Sox game as well. It's time for the Bears fan morale meter. I call it how's morale. After the Colts game, we ranked it down to 7.3. That's low. That Colts game was a kick in the you-know-what. But after the Rams and Panthers game, morale is up. I'm saying back at a straight 8. You know, beating average or below-average teams is nice. Like the Rams are kind of a wounded animal, but that was a nice win. Carolina, 36-10, that's what you should do. It's great. You got to feel really nice if you're a Bears fan right now, especially in comparison to mid-September. But the next month, you're going to face some decent teams. Now, that doesn't start for a few weeks. The next 4 weeks, the Bears have Jacksonville, a good Washington team. Arizona's decent. New England's not too great. Then you have the Packers Sunday, November 17th. Then it's on. The back half of the season is tough. A lot of division games. It's going to be a lot of work. So the next month for the Bears is about stockpiling wins. Get 3 or 4 more wins before that Packer game. Then you're in play for wild card if you don't get the division. My Bears-Jaguars prediction, I don't think this game is going to be easy as the Panthers game. I think the Jaguars, are like a wounded animal trying to get back into it. But their defense is just not that good, and the Bears' offense is getting good. Their offense at times can be okay to the Jaguars, but I don't see them being a real challenge to the Bears' defensive backs. And Gervon Dexter, who I love, is really hitting his stride. I don't think they could do it. I'm going Bears 30. I'm going to go 30-17 Bears. What a fun few weeks we've had here. It's great to be back on the score. A lot of highs, a lot of lows. Let's shake off September. Enjoy October. It was great to be back with you. Coming up, the Bears pregame show is coming up today, a bonus Saturday morning pregame show. Every Saturday, the tailgate will be there. I'm Paul Pabst. We'll talk college football. We'll talk pro. Be back in town for the Packers game. Hope you enjoyed the tailgate. Hope you enjoyed the football. 670 The Score.